Last week, Pastor Ben introduced us to this section of Paul's letter, the fifth chapter of Galatians, and he spoke about walking in the Spirit and also the warning about using the freedom that we have in Christ to gratify the desires of the flesh. And he talked about the warfare that goes on within us of wanting to eat Girl Scout cookies and not wanting to eat them, knowing that, I guess you weren't here last week, that was a pretty good illustration, but he was talking about how we want to do this and we want to do that, and a lot of times it's of the flesh, which is the fallen nature that still exists within us, even as believers, that which needs to be put to death through sanctification, the Holy Spirit works. But there's, you know, the life in the Spirit and there's life in the flesh, and they're at war. Well, Paul is talking here about how we must walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit. But he's also talking about misusing our freedom as Christians. And instead of walking by the Spirit, we're using our freedom to gratify our flesh. So there's this war. There's these two things taking place spiritually within the life of every true believer. If you're not a Christian, you don't have this battle because you don't have the Holy Spirit. So you just give in to the flesh and that's the way you live. And it was interesting. Yesterday we were doing street work at the block party out here, and there's a beer garden that just opened up right across the street, and it's packed. So I went over there and spent some time. No, I wasn't drinking, but I was over there to speak with people and share the gospel if the Lord so opened the door. The life of the flesh was pretty obvious there yesterday, and people didn't really want to talk about the Lord. One of the members of the team that was out was talking with somebody at a booth that was focusing on cancer and support groups. And this team member said, you know, well, what do you do about the spiritual support of cancer patients? And she was very cold to that. Cold to that. There's causes and there's concerns for people, but when it comes to introducing people to Jesus Christ or talking about the spiritual side of things, it's not there. So that's the world we're living in right now. There's those that are living in the Spirit and those that are living in the flesh. And we learned last week that these two battle. Paul says in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And then Paul talks about the works of the flesh and also living by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Two different lifestyles. Christians, born again believers, can live by the flesh. Their desires are to satisfy the flesh, that old nature, their fallen nature, their appetites. And Paul's warning the Galatians, don't let your freedom take you down the wrong road where you are using your freedom in Christ to gratify the flesh. I'm going to focus on the works of the flesh this morning. Pastor Ben is going to be preaching on the verses that deal with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit next week. So I'm zeroing in on verses 19 and following. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. He didn't exhaust the whole list. And things like these. Of the flesh. Now, as I was looking at this and reviewing this whole text, the whole letter, you know what the battle has been in Galatia, where Paul had established a church with the preaching of the gospel of grace. And then people came along by the name of Judaizers that confronted his teaching, confronted the church and said, the gospel of grace, where you simply believe in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection, simply believing in that is not enough to be saved. Now, Paul taught the gospel of grace and people came to faith in Jesus Christ. They were saved and they were worshiping. Their lives were being transformed as they sat under the preaching of the word. And then these other people came along and said, no. You're saved by grace. Plus, you Gentiles have to understand that God's chosen people are the Jews. Now, if you want to be one of God's people, you have to become a Jew, which means you have to add things to the gospel. It's not just grace alone, trusting in the work of Christ. You have to do works. You have to become a Jew. You have to be circumcised. You have to follow the Jewish holidays, the Jewish dietary customs and so forth. And when you do that, that's when you're saved. That's when you're justified. Paul's preaching, you're justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. The Judaizers were saying, you're saved by grace plus works. See the difference? Now, when I was pondering this, I'm thinking, how is it that Christians who have heard the gospel can be seduced into leaving the gospel and believing in another gospel, a false gospel, a gospel of works? What's going on inside a person that would maybe one year rejoice in the gospel of Christ, in his crucifixion and resurrection, and rejoice in the fact that I am saved by God's grace, and the next year come along and say, you know, I'm really questioning whether that's the right thing to believe in. I'm really questioning where I heard that from. I'm really questioning the guy that was teaching that, the Apostle Paul. I mean, what are his credentials? He claims to be an apostle, but was he really? He wasn't one of the original 12. Where did he get his message from? Is this something he made up? So I'm not sure what to believe here. I think I'm a Christian. I think I've been saved by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And yet the Jews are saying, the Judaizers are saying, wait a minute, we've been around a lot longer than you have. And here's how God has done. He has made a covenant with Abraham. He has made promises to Abraham that Abraham will be the father of many nations, that Abraham will be given the promised land, that Abraham is given these promises that there'll always be these people that believe in God and God will be faithful to his covenant. And then Moses comes along and God gives them the law and how to govern the nation of Israel and their ceremonies and their morals, the Ten Commandments. And the Judaizers are saying, now we have a history here. We're the real thing. Now Paul's the new guy on the block and we have a problem with his theology, so we want to correct you on this. So they introduced this other gospel. And Paul is fighting against this. And Paul keeps on talking about the freedom that comes from the law. You don't have to do this, 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 and this to earn your way into heaven. Christ has already done everything that needs to be done. Trust in Him. And then Paul says, for you were called to freedom. Amen. We're free. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. So there's confusion here. Logan, that's okay. We'll see you for lunch. There's a new dad taking care of his child. That's good. All right, Matt. What is it in people that causes them to question and doubt and change and shift? You know, we all have something called presuppositions, assumptions, beliefs that are behind our beliefs. And these presuppositions oftentimes will affect the way we see God's truth, will affect the way we make decisions. These presuppositions shape our worldview, shape our morality, our ethics. These are what dwell deep within our hearts. There are things that have been there for a long time, so when new ideas come along, our presuppositions kick in and we start to evaluate what we're hearing with what we were raised with or believe in. Passage like this. Okay. Presupposition. I believe that this is the Bible, the God's Word. It is perfect. There are no errors in here. This is God revealing His will, His truth to us through the written Word. Everything in this Bible is God's Word. And that means He's the authority that we answer to. He is the one that has the final say on everything. Amen. Believe that this is the Bible. That's a presupposition. And because many, if not all of us, have that presupposition, we will listen to this passage and we will say, okay, God, what are you telling me here? You're telling me to walk by the Spirit. You're telling me not to use my freedom in Christ to satisfy or gratify my fleshly desires. I got to do that. You gave me the Spirit to help me understand this and to live it out. So we look at the text and now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And we start thinking, gee, does this describe me? Is God talking to me right now that these things of the flesh are now present in my life? Because this is God talking to me. I got to check myself and examine myself to see, am I living in the Spirit or am I living according to the flesh? Now, if you have a different presupposition, this is a book that was written thousands of years ago and it's not God's Word. There's a lot of good stories in here. There's a lot of good advice in here. But God did not write this. And besides, whoever wrote this long, long time ago, this book is irrelevant for me today. It doesn't have anything in here that's really going to help me. Okay, we read about Paul, you know, 2,000 years ago, he's having problems in the church and he's identifying him and he's talking about law and grace and all that kind of stuff. That has nothing to do with me today. That's the presupposition. Tell me how to improve my life. Tell me how to be happy. Tell me how to have a fulfilling life. But I'm not going to follow this because this is old-fashioned, it's old school, and it really doesn't speak to where I am at right now. See, that's a presupposition. I would say, I come to this text and I say, now the works of the flesh, what do you mean works of the flesh? What's he talking about? Impurity, sexual. Wait a minute, where does this guy get off telling me how I'm supposed to live? You know, I'm basically a good person. Everybody's basically good. Another presupposition. And we might need a little bit of education to sort of refine us and improve us and enrich us. But when it comes to rock solid truth, I don't know. This might be nice for some weak-minded people. I mean, how ridiculous is it that God created everything in 6 days? We know that's not true. Science tells us this. It tells us that. Now, that's what I'm going to follow. Now, if you got some guy thousands of years ago saying this is the way it was, I'm not going to follow that in presuppositions. You see how these deep down beliefs will cause us to interpret Scripture one of two ways. Either this is God talking to me and I better listen, or, okay, I'll entertain this guy for 45 minutes and then after that, hopefully I'll get something out of this. But then, you know, we got to go out and celebrate Father's Day. The presupposition is when I go to church, I've got to get something out of it. Wrong presupposition. What do you mean we're supposed to get something out of it? I didn't get anything out of that sermon. Are you supposed to? Or have we gathered today to give Him something? Our praise and our adoration, glorifying Him. Did I glorify God today? Or I didn't get anything out of it. Or I got a lot out of that one today. About time. 15 years I heard 2 sermons that are good. Didn't get much out of it. You see what I'm saying? These deep beliefs shape the way we approach the Scriptures, the way we hear the Word of God. They shape whether we're going to live according to the flesh or live according to the Spirit. What makes you tick? What's your motivation? Glorifying God through walking by the Spirit, or what am I going to get from this? So we have to look at our assumptions. Even the assumption about freedom. Freedom, if we don't have the right presuppositions, we're going to think, freedom means I can do anything I want. And nobody can tell me that I'm wrong. Nobody can restrict me. Nobody can force me to believe and to do what they want. I am free. I could go wherever I want, say whatever I want, do whatever I want, because I'm free. That's not biblical freedom. So we look at, well, make sure you're using your freedom for the right thing, and you're saying, well, I'm free, I can do anything I want. Wrong. We can't. We learn more and more about how God's law directs us. And the fact that we are free from the power of sin, Satan, and death. And we're free from obeying the law in order to merit salvation. God has given us His law to guide Christians as to how to live in a way that glorifies Him. So our freedom is not what most Americans would think it is. I could do whatever I want. Our freedom is to become a slave to righteousness. Wow. I don't like that word, slave. Well, that's what the Bible teaches us. We're not freewheelers that, okay, I'm saved. I can live any way I want. I can go to church if I want or if I choose to do something else. Hey, who's going to tell me that I can't? We also have another assumption about living, and it's that people, Christians oftentimes think that their restlessness, their anxiety and fear, their sleepless nights, their frustration, exasperation, is all because the devil is after them. Going through a tough time, Satan's firing his darts at me. There's missiles coming at me all the time. And some of them are big. Now that's true in many cases where Satan is doing that. But it's not true in all cases. And it's not true in the case of a Christian using her freedom to gratify her fleshly desires. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. A lot of the restlessness, anxiety, stress, depression, the overwhelming feeling of discouragement and vulnerability is not from the devil, but it's from God. As the Holy Spirit is working to sanctify our souls, which means to put to death the deeds of the flesh, to change, to transform the presuppositions, to attack our spiritual pride and humble us, where we will submit to the Lordship of Christ, and we're resisting that. That's where the warfare goes on. The flesh is saying, you don't need to listen to the preaching. You don't need worship. You don't need to pray. You don't need Bible study. You don't need any of that. There are other things more important in life that you can devote your time to. And then the Holy Spirit might be listening to some song on the radio. Might bump into somebody. And they say something to you. And the Holy Spirit uses that. And He fires a shot straight to the heart. Yesterday I walked into the beer garden across the street. That's what that is. And they put a bracelet on me. I said, so what's going on here? And, well, we have all these beers. We have these bars. We have vendors with food. It's a great time. I said, I'm the pastor from across the street. I just came over to welcome you and see what's going on. I see all these cars. And there was one woman, she said, one of the hostesses, she says, Pastor, they do have root beer. And the popcorn is really good. Enjoy yourself. We're glad you came over. My point is, God's always out there working in people. And immediately I'm thinking, all right, how am I going to conduct myself here? How, Lord, show me how to speak to these people? Because this is not a crowd that I usually hang out with. Met a lot of nice people. They did not want to hear about the Lord. They didn't want to hear about our schools. But it convicted me that if you're a Christian, this is where you belong, out in the street, telling people about the Lord. And if they don't want to hear it, you don't bang them over the head with a Bible. You develop relationships with them and you come back later on. And as I was leaving to go out to the block party, the same hostess says to me, now, Pastor, If you want, please come back later on. Rather than, what are you doing here? See my point? The Holy Spirit works, and He'll work in different ways through different people to tell us to check ourselves. What's your motivation for going over there? To gratify the desires of the flesh? Or to bring the gospel? Or to be a witness? And I talked to some of the people, the township supervisors, and say, you know, we really have a problem with parking. I said, well, use the church's parking lot. And while you're at it, why don't you reduce the cost of the ramps that we had to put in? No, I didn't say that. Yeah, I should have, right? The point is that God puts you in these different places, and what's down deep, your presuppositions, your assumptions, will shape the way you relate to people, the way you relate to God. And when those desires are conflicted, and Paul talks about, why is it that I do the things I know I'm not supposed to do, and why don't I do the things I... He goes back and forth struggling, and that's the way it is for a Christian. And if you give in and gratify the flesh, you're going to feel guilty, you're going to have problems, you're going to say, why did I blow that opportunity? I'm not much of a Christian. How do I say that I'm a pastor? All of this stuff goes through your head. There's a war going on inside. A lot of times people think, oh, that's just the devil. But it's God, Holy Spirit, working in you, in me, to say, are you walking the way I want you to walk? Are your motivations pure? Do you really want those people at this block party saved, or don't you? Do you see these people here in Upper Euclid Township the same way I see them? Whoa. How do you see them, Lord? Do you feel the same compassion for the lost as I do? I'll go to the cross and die for them. In fact, I did that. What are you going to do for the people to save their souls? Are you going to talk to them? Are you going to invite them to church? What are you going to do? So what Paul is doing is he's digging down to the very bare bones of the soul of an individual. Why do you do what you do? Why do you live the way you live? My final point is the main point of this message. A Christian who uses his freedom to gratify the desires of the flesh rather than to walk in the Spirit is actually abusing God's grace. Abusing God's grace. And here's the main idea. God does not save us by grace so that we may live in disgrace. God does not save us by grace so that we may live in disgrace, which occurs when we live to gratify our flesh. And he lists them in verses 19 through 21. This doesn't only pertain to the individual Christian, it pertains to the church. Are we a Spirit-filled church, or do we gratify the desires of our flesh? Oh yeah, we can talk about attendance figures and all that. No, no. Let's go down to the heart. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. And that covers everything from fornication to adultery to pornography. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. We're probably saying, no, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me. But is it? What movies do we watch? What are we doing on our computers? I was observing behavior yesterday. There's a lot of game playing going on in the streets. A lot of game playing in the beer garden. They're not gathered there just for a prayer meeting. I need to hook up. And you watch behavior like that and you say, this is... I remember when I was in college, I worked at the Sheraton Inn as one of the guys that cleaned tables and stuff like that. And every Saturday night at 2 o'clock at the last call, you would see the same people. Usually they were from New York or Philadelphia. They came up into the Poconos for the weekend. You would see the same people every weekend leaving with something, someone different. And I would see the sadness. I just got to find someone. Somebody that's going to love me. There's a woman that was so drunk one time, they couldn't get her out of the ladies' room. So they call on me and a waitress to help her out. She's coming out crying, mascara running down her face. And she says, hey, college boy, what are you doing? What are you doing later on tonight? You know, it broke my heart to see a person who is living out her life trying to please the flesh. She can't find. She can't find God. So she's doing the best she can with the flesh, and it's not fulfilling her life. I don't know if she was a believer or not. I'm not getting into that. The point here is that the works of the flesh will destroy you. Even as a Christian, people fall away. People don't want to go to church anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And that can go right through a whole congregation. I mean, you look at some of these words here, and you can draw a connection between enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envy. If a church is conducting its business in the flesh, that's what you're going to see. If it's conducting its business according to the Spirit, you're going to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we look at our personalities. What makes me tick? Why do I do what I'm doing? To please the flesh? Or to please God by walking in the Spirit? As a congregation, do we live by the flesh or by the Holy Spirit? How do we interact with one another? You know, at the bottom of the flesh is the first sin and the sin that covers every other sin, and that's spiritual pride. I know what's best. Wait a minute, you're disagreeing with me. You don't know what's best. I know better than you. And what happens? You don't have the brotherly love, that's for sure. So Paul is telling the church in Galatia, the dangers, he warns them, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. What do we take away from this sermon? What are our assumptions? What are our presuppositions? To spend time examining ourselves against the Word of God. This is the canon. How do I measure up? Does my life resemble that what the Scriptures are teaching? Or does my life resemble a life of the flesh? Examine ourselves. Confess our sins to the Lord. Get some help. Doors are always open. Come talk. Lord, I'm going down the wrong road. I can't forgive people. They get on my nerves. I just don't want to be around them. That's a problem that the flesh keeps generating and regenerating. We've got to deal with that. Yesterday when I walked over across there, the manager was standing out parking cars. And I talked to him, like I said, about myself and our church. And he says, hey, can we send, you know, sometimes people get a little bit too much to drink and they're upset and they're sitting around crying in their beer. Can we send them over to you? I says, yeah. He goes, really? I says, yeah. Here's our cards. If you have people that are having problems and they're trying to solve them over there and they can't, we can provide them with Jesus Christ who could solve every problem. And the guy just looked at me, shook my hand and said, thank you. Do you have any more of these cards? See what I'm getting at? The people in their weakness, in their brokenness, will come to their senses like the prodigal son and say, you know, this isn't working. You know, I have squandered my whole life. And my life is going down the tubes. Is there anyone who could help me? Is there a Savior for me? Of course there is. Come, here, Jesus Christ. He'll help you. He'll take care of you. Perhaps that's where you are today. It's like my life is going nowhere and I am so frustrated and I don't know what to do. Come to Jesus Christ through faith. He has compassion for you. He understands your brokenness. He will heal you. He will heal you. Come to Him. Father God,